couples. The Toronto Common Arts Festival would like to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, and the Huron-Wendat, and that Indigenous peoples have lived on and cared for this land for more than 15,000 years. This territory is covered by the Dish With One Spoon Wampum Belt Treaty. Today, Toronto is still the home to many Indigenous people from across Turtle Island. We acknowledge that settlers on the land directly benefit from the process of colonization. In recognition of our gathering on these lands for TCAF 2018, the festival has made a donation to Native Child and Family Services of Toronto. We look forward to increasing our support and programs for Indigenous creators in the years to come. Programming at TCAF 2018 is sponsored by Seneca College's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design. TCAF would also like to thank our presenting sponsors, the Beguiling, Little Island Comics, and the Toronto Public Library. Thanks to our media sponsors, Now Magazine. We also recognize the support of the Canada Council for the Arts, the Ontario Arts Council, and the Toronto Arts Council. Welcome. My name is Glenn Downey. I'm your moderator here for today. I'm a children's writer and a teacher at the York School in Toronto, just down the street from us. I review comics and graphic novels for Publishers Weekly and run the website Comics in Education. Nothing goes together better than words and pictures. I think you would probably agree with that if you're here. Except when you have creative couples, like the ones on this panel. These are, without question, perfect comics pairs. That's how at least I'm billing them, for sure. Today we have Audrey Nippenegger and Eddie Campbell, Louis Trondheim and Brigitte Findley, and Yuka Oda and Ananth Hirsch to talk about making comics with people they love and loving comics with the people they make them with. That's just the... That's the sort of stated panel description that I thought I would take care of. What I'm sure your audience and our audience today is more interested in is everything else that happens once the hugs and high fives of working together, of these wonderful partnerships go away, and they have to get down to the business of working together. Audrey Nippenegger is a novelist, a graphic novelist, an educator. Her best-selling debut novel, The Time Traveler's Wife, was adapted for the big screen in 2009. On the comic side of things, you may know her for her 2005 graphic novel, The Three Incestuous Sisters. Her partner in crime is Eddie Campbell, the creator of Alec, Bacchus, and illustrator of a lovely little comic book by Alan Moore called From Hell. They get to be a couple. Louis Trondheim is an award-winning French cartoonist and one of the founders of L'Association Publishing House. His silent comic La Mouche and Caput and Zosky have been made into animated cartoons, the latter of which ran in Canada on the Teletoon network. The other part of this creative couple is Brigitte Findley, a writer and comics creator born in Mosul, Iraq, who has worked as a colorist since the early 1980s, and done projects for Spirou, and I believe a small American company named Disney. Got that right. It was just a little shout-out for them, yeah. Yuko Oda and Ananth Hirsch are a Japanese-American cartoonist and an Indian-American writer-designer, respectively. They've been working together and posting comics online since 2008, and have worked with numerous publishers since then. Their latest books are Lucky Penny and the award-winning Our Cats Are More Famous Than Us. And their current project, Barbarous, is serializing online at their website, johnnywander.com. They live in Brooklyn, New York, with two cats. So I guess my first question, I think, when I was trying to come up with questions for this panel, and again, I'll generally ask these just to any of you, so feel free to chime in. And I guess the first question is probably the simplest one. How did you become a creative couple? I know some of you have strange stories, fascinating stories, interesting stories, so I think these guys would love to hear about them. How did you come to be a creative couple? Let's start with Audrey and Nick.
I've written a couple of blog posts about Audrey way back 12 years ago. I was married to somebody else then, and I liked Audrey's ideas. It was only later when I found myself single again that I had designs on the lighting.
I met Andy's daughter Haley in 2006 at one of these festivals. They have parties often the night before everything really gets rolling, so I was in Sydney standing around this party, and I remember everything being blue, which is not a color that makes you want to have a drink or anything. You just want to stand there and think, oh, everything is blue. If you're starting a restaurant, don't make it blue. But anyway, the next day I was supposed to be interviewed on stage by Neil Gaiman, who I'd never met. And Neil, who has magnificent manners, rolled up at this party and said, "Hi, I'm Neil Gaiman," and talked to me for a couple of minutes. But he knew every single person in the room, so eventually he rolled away again. And he had brought Haley with him, and so Haley and I stood there not knowing anybody and making small talk. And that was the beginning of being friends with Haley Campbell, who eventually introduced me to her dad. And so that was the start. And I didn't find out about the designs that Eddie had on me until way later.
Haley Campbell is well known in the Twitter sphere. She used to be Eddie Campbell's daughter, and now I'm Haley Campbell's dad.
Oh gosh. Okay.
We can't top that.
The short story of how we met is we were both at Anime Boston 2004, and we met at an anime convention, which is really difficult to explain to our relatives. Yeah. The longer story is that we were actually both guests there. We were kind of in that first generation of people who were computer literate enough to put comics on the internet before the word webcomic existed. And there was like a novelty in that because there weren't many of us. So that was back when webcomics were like regularly guests at anime shows. So the two of us had never met, but we read each other's work. So we met probably at a guest dinner or maybe some sort of informal dinner that had a bunch of guests. We talked and realized we got along very well. And as it turns out, Nath had no idea who I was. And then he found out what I was working on, and he got extremely shy, and then kind of like slowly like got quieter and quieter and quieter until I was wondering if I'd upset him or offended him. But it was actually that I think, sorry, am I putting words in your mouth? I think that he was just like a little overwhelmed. I don't want to say starstruck about me because I feel like that's elevating myself too high. Please.
I was very shy. And so I didn't talk to her for the rest of that day, and then finally went back and talked to her the next day. And we actually, that was when we became friends, but we didn't actually start working together until a couple of years after that. Yeah. Maybe like four years after that.
Yeah, we just remained friends for like years. Years and years and years. And then ages later, we wound up working together, and we might have, I think, we started dating after that, and then we got married in 2 years ago in India. So.
Yeah, I love how the first part is so clear, and then the last part about becoming married is so blur. It's amazing. Lewis.
Is it a panel about comics or about love? Because I know many things about comics.
I'm sure we don't mind. We'd be good with either. But how did you? Sure. How did you become a creative couple?
Because I'm. We worked together at the same studio in Paris, and I just drew behind her, and she saw my back during many, many months. I think my back is very sexy. And, at the end, we had sex together. Do you want to tell you how we make love together? Is it about that? We were in a bed. No? But otherwise.
I'm not stopping you.
Bridget will continue. No, she was working alone with magazines, and we work really together on the same project. When I made my first book at Dargo's, it's a color book, and she made the coloring, but we were already together sexually before.
All right.
Is it clear?
Anything to add, Christian?
No.
Thank you. That was awesome. Okay. So. The second question does too deal with the creative process, just a procreative
the process. The sex process? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Just the, yeah.
My English is so bad. Sorry.
What if you learn from one another? I know all the questions are going to seem like they're going to take on the flavor. We'll talk about either comics creation or creation. I feel like now I have to define the term. What if you learn from one another in that process of being creators together? And we'll start down with Audrey and me. So something that each of you learned from the other person.
What have we learned, Danny? I'm too much of an old dog to learn a new trick. But I just thought Audrey, being a woman, writes from the female point of view, and in her book Bizarre Romance there are 13 stories, and each story has a different protagonist, and I had to create a completely different female character for each of these stories. And as you know, in comics there's only one female. Actually there's two. There's Mary Jane and there's Auntie May. And there's nothing in that's, and Gwen Stacy is a version of Mary Jane. But every other young lady in comics is a version of Mary Jane from Spider-Man. And every old lady looks like Aunt May. So I had to come up with 13 different protagonists here. They all were individual and special and unique in themselves. And I found that quite a... It brought out something in me that I wasn't aware of. I had to think about it. I had to... It stretched me further than my usual... It's something I wouldn't have come up with on my own.
Well, anybody who knows me knows what a control freak I am. So what I had to learn was how to work with somebody who was 10 feet away from me and not constantly go over and go, darling, that's not quite it, because that's just really an uncool way to collaborate. And so... My goal had been to hand edit the stories and then just disappear until they were finished. But you know, when you're walking, he works on the dining room table, and so if I was going to be in the dining room at all, of course I would occasionally get a peek whether I really wanted to or not. And what was really interesting, since I'm often my own illustrator, is to watch somebody else bringing these characters to life and to be surprised by your own characters. That's really kind of a privilege, actually. And so I got to find out a lot of things about my characters that I didn't know, and what was quite delightful was to discover who the characters were and to have a feeling that they had been that all along, and I had just not known that. So what I learned is that that if you work really well with somebody, that they can bring out latent things in your work that you never suspected.
And one of the benefits is that, because when I was doing From Hell, I was in Brisbane, Australia, and my collaborator was in Northampton, England, and on a completely different time line. I mean, he had a phone, and I had a phone the other side of the planet. You know, working with Audrey, I could just shout, "Audrey, I've got a problem!" Shout through to the next room. There was that benefit, right?
There is an enormous benefit to, you know, turning to the other desk and saying, "Hey, I have an issue. Can you help me out?" But gosh, I'm trying to think, because I think we met each other when I was maybe, I might have been like 18 or 19 years old. I was, God, a freshman or sophomore in college. We've had the benefit of kind of creatively growing up with each other. So, like, a lot of my habits were actually formed in tandem with Ananth, for better or for worse. And we wound up having to learn a lot of the same lessons. But the one that I think you learned way before me is sometimes you have to take a hatchet to your darlings to, you know, you have to hack off pieces of the rose bush for it to flourish. That's something that I still kind of cling to, that Ananth has figured out way before me, and it always winds up making things a lot stronger in the end.
I think for me, because a lot of what I do is on the writing end of things, learned a lot about how your process works, and then working around that, and then trying to, you know, I didn't ever thumbnail things really until a couple of years ago, and then you said you should try thumbnailing these pages, because I would turn over pages that, you know, had too many actions in them, or had like two actions in a pants, stuff like that. You know, we grew up creatively together, and so
I'm so sorry.
It's been tremendously beneficial to sort of like sit across from you and learn what I'm doing wrong.
I'm sorry, I will continue in French because my English is not enough to speak with Brigitte. I have no word in English for Brigitte. On était mariés avec Brigitte depuis 22 ans ensemble, avant de commencer un vrai livre ensemble, on est co-scénariste.
So they had been married for 22 years before starting a real co-creation together with their new book.
Donc en fait, il y avait un grand danger de mettre notre ego comme ça côte à côte, de travailler ensemble après avoir vécu aussi longtemps, se connaître autant, avoir des enfants ensemble. On risquait vraiment le divorce.
So it was a real danger to put their egos together for a project like that. And after having been married for so long, having kids and having worked together on other projects.
Mais heureusement, j'ai un très très bon caractère.
He has a really good character.
Et je dis toujours la vérité.
Le fait est qu'en dehors du mensonge à caractère, ça a été très très important et très touchant pour moi de travailler avec Élise sur le scénario de ce livre qui est donc mon autobiographie.
Besides the lies that you just heard, It was a real pleasure for Bridget to work with Louis on this really personal project. His Puppies of Iraq is autobiography.
Et c'était vraiment une question de confiance, et pour moi c'était important de l'avoir fait avec Lewis, parce que je savais que quand je lui ai raconté donc, les anecdotes de mon enfance...
So there was a trust in this project, working with Lewis, because she had to tell her story.
Comme j'étais directement concernée, je savais que de temps en temps, peut-être que je voulais en faire de trop, ou peut-être que je voulais raconter des choses qui... Peut-être que certaines choses n'étaient pas forcément très intéressantes, et Lewis a su me dire clairement les choses, et me dire, bon, ça, c'est peut-être pas... On va peut-être pas le raconter comme ça, ou bien, ou plutôt, là, tu me racontes quelque chose, c'est pas très intéressant. On va passer à autre.
So being a personal project, it was a danger that Brigitte would have liked sometimes to tell some stories which weren't that interesting or tell too much of some stories. And Louis worked with her to navigate through that and to be with such a trust that he could comment and work to make a better book out of the stories.
So, je pense que si j'avais fait ce livre avec un autre scénariste, ça n'aurait pas été évident pour la personne de me dire non, ça c'est pas très bien, plutôt changer. Parce que quand c'est ta vie que tu racontes, c'est pas toujours évident d'accepter le retour de celui qui est en face de toi. Tandis que là, j'étais vraiment en confiance et je, comme en plus je trouve que c'est un très bon scénariste, je lui faisais
confiance. Working with another writer would have been hard, as the trust that Bridget and Lewis have together made it easy to confront some parts of the book, and it's really personal. So it would have been hard to work with somebody else than I was on that project.
Thank you, Bridget. Here's a question. In a panel that I did 2 years ago on creativity on this very stage, sitting right where you are right now, I asked Bastien Mives if there was anything that got in the way of his creative process, and he replied, love. Love sucks. Do you relate to one another differently when you're in the process of creating something than you do when you don't have something that you're immediately working on? In other words, is there an intensity about it? Is there something different than when you're not?
Something different when...
Just like when you're working on a project in that, and when you're involved in that creativity, do you relate to one another differently? Do you go into a mode where you are... where you cut out certain things, or you focus on certain things differently, you're more businesslike.
I think I'm very businesslike. Once you've decided what to do, it becomes something that's just got to get done. You know, it's like vacuuming the carpets or whatever. No big personal. Somebody's got to do it. That's it. Somebody's got to do these drawings. It's got to be me. I'd happily hand it off to somebody else.
Yeah, he is getting himself in trouble here, I think. I don't know, yeah, I mean, I think everybody's daily life has different pockets and different moods, and when you're with somebody pretty much 24/7, which we kind of are because we work at home together, we're kind of different when we're trying to get something done with the work than we are when we're, you know, steaming broccoli or something. But you know, certain things just require brainstorming and thoughtful exchange of ideas, and the nice thing about collaborating with somebody that you're pretty much always with is that the work doesn't really stop at 5 o'clock. I mean, even though we suddenly say, oh yes, it's time for a gin and tonic, that doesn't mean we're not collaborating anymore. It just means that we're drinking gin and tonics while we are collaborating.
And inevitably something occurs to you in the middle of the night, you know, and be, Audrey, wake up! I've got a better idea.
I mean, yeah, for better or for worse, it's just when you live with a person who you work with in all facets of your life, it weaves into the fabric of everything you do, just everything together at all times, and you just have to become very good at mentally compartmentalizing. To say, you know, we had a big argument about this plot point, but now it's time to make dinner together, and now that's over, and we can get back to the argument when we have decided it's work time. You have to be very, very good about delineating the mental spaces in your life when you can't delineate the workspaces in your life, especially when you're working at home in like the same room that you live in and the same room that you relax in.
Yeah. Yeah, compartmentalizing at least is how we describe it for our process. I think also another thing for us is that when we're working together, it's hard for me to think of an example, but I know that we start to speak in shorthand for things that we'll do over and over again, like certain kinds of paneling tricks, or we'll call something like a 1-2, which I think is more universal, but you end up sort of with a language around the way that the two of you work together, I think. Yeah.
Which is probably a huge bummer for anybody else who has to collaborate with us.
Yeah, there's no going. You don't go home at the end of the day. You can't say, right, that's me. I'll see you on Monday morning.
Avec Brigitte, on est ensemble depuis 1992.
So they've been together since 1982.
On a toujours donc travaillé dans le même endroit, le même atelier, de maison en maison, dans la même pièce.
So they've always been working together in the same room, even moving houses to houses.
Et beaucoup de couples qui nous croisent nous disent, mais comment vous faites pour vivre toujours ensemble? Parce que vous vivez ensemble, avec cuisine, au travail, vous partez en festival ensemble. Comment vous faites pour vous supporter?
So a lot of people ask them how they do it, because they're always working together, on the road together in festivals, and how you do it not to fall on your nerves at the end of the day.
Et on leur répond toujours, comment vous faites pour ne pas vivre toujours avec la même personne?
And they ask them, well, how do you do it not living always with the same person?
It was a joke.
C'était qu'on travaille effectivement ensemble dans la même pièce, mais en fait on se respecte et quand on travaille chacun de notre côté, on travaille vraiment sérieusement, c'est-à-dire il n'y a pas un des deux qui va déranger l'autre, rien. Donc je pense que c'est la raison pour laquelle ça se passe très bien. On est vraiment, quand on est dans notre travail, on y est à fond.
So one of the reasons all goes well is that they work in the same room, but they do respect each other's spaces. And when they work seriously, so they don't... without bothering the other, sorry.
Mais c'est vrai aussi que nous travaillons... quand on n'est pas en festival ni en vacances... mais on travaille tous les jours, y compris le week-end, et il n'y a pas d'horaire.
When they're not on festival or on vacation, they do work all the time, every day, so there's no schedule for working.
I really enjoy to work on the Christmas day. On the every 1st of May, I really enjoy. When people are not working, I love to work these days, so I'm sorry about that. I love to do comics, so I do comics all the time, even on Sunday, even during the And Brigitte also. It's okay.
I just to gauge from the audience, how many of you expect that you might want to ask a question of one of our couples? Wow, you're shy. Okay, there's a few. Okay, so I'm going to ask maybe one more question or even two or whatever, but I will give you some time to think about a question if you have one. You talked about like the idea of working in a partnership and that and your partner being woven into the fabric of everything you do. When we had Scott McLeod here a couple of years ago, I had him in an interview about the sculptor, and he talked at that time about how he modeled the female character in the sculptor after his wife. When you work together, do you find yourself putting your partner into characters that you either write about or draw, if not physically, emotionally, certain mannerisms, psychologically? Do you find yourself putting your partner into your work?
For me, specifically?
Anyone may.
Okay. Do you want to?
You go.
Okay. Well,
I'll give you the time to think about it.
Okay. So, for us, the majority of the projects that I work on and Anant work on are actually collaborations. And I'm such a slow artist that 100% of my projects are collaborations with Anant. He works with other artists. Sometimes we write projects together for other artists, but no matter what, we are we're working together on a script in that case. So if that does happen, it's usually the both of us are at fault, and it's usually deliberate. The main character of the project that we're working on right now is a biracial Japanese woman, and we're just completely flagrantly stripping experiences from both of our lives as like non-white Americans, and we're just dumping them into this comic. So, yes, but it's very, we're doing it very deliberately.
Eddie, or?
As I said before, each story had a protagonist. In a couple of them, they were autobiographical, so Audrey was the protagonist. So I had to look very closely and follow her around looking at her to get the details right. It was a strange period.
Mostly I'm a fiction writer, and I was trying to hide myself and hide other people. If I do put actual people in, I tend to try to disguise them quite thoroughly. Of course, when you really have a basic character on somebody, they will never recognize themselves. And characters that you have, they came from nowhere, they aren't based on anybody, and people will say, oh yeah, that's me, isn't it? My mother really identified with the character, I won't tell you which one, but she said, oh, that character, you based that on me, didn't you? And I'm like, no, and I thought, my God, that character's psychotic. What can my poor mother be possibly? What's her interior landscape like? But anyway, it also takes kind of a lot of time, you know, for people to infiltrate what I'm doing. And so, I don't know, 10 years from now, I'll be disguised Eddie Campbells, and I challenge you all to ferret them out.
Je fais beaucoup de petits récits autobiographiques qui s'appellent Les Petits Riens, et dedans je raconte ma vie et parfois Brigitte intervient.
So he does a lot of autobiographic work with Les Petits Riens, The Small Nothings. So of course he's represented in them, and Brigitte also intervenes at some points.
Et généralement je parle de choses que je vois, que j'entends, que je pense.
So he talks about stuff that he hears and sees all the time.
Et puis parfois, Brigitte, elle dit des bêtises. Et j'hésite à raconter l'histoire, parce qu'après, je sais qu'elle ne va pas me faire à manger.
So sometimes Bridget doesn't know really what she's talking about, so he hesitates in putting that in his comics because he wants to eat that thing.
Et moi, étant essentiellement coloriste de bande dessinée,
and her being essentially a colorist in comics.
Donc par bonheur, je n'ai absolument pas besoin de Lewis ni de l'intégrer à mon travail.
So it's a pleasure not to need Lewis or integrate him in his work.
So finally, before I maybe ask a question or two of the audience, is there a project as a creative couple that you've, you know, talked about collaborating on or imagined or so wanting to do in the future, or one maybe that you've just already begun?
Yeah, we had two children.
Right.
it was artistic.
Well, since this book came out, this is a bunch of stories and essays that I've written over about 15 years that Eddie turned some of them into comics and illustrated some of them. And people keep asking us, oh, are you going to do it the other way around? Are you going to take Eddie's writing and Audrey do the drawing? And the first time anyone asked us that, we looked at each other and started laughing. So, no to that, and well, I mean, we can be persuaded to do most things for really major amounts of money. But yeah, we don't really have anything in the works yet. We're still recovering from this one.
Ananth mentioned earlier that he has been persuaded recently to start attempting thumbnails to be able to picture the scenes that he is writing more visually, and also as an assistance to me. And the thing that we keep on joking about is that one of these days I'm going to write something and he's going to have to draw it. So
it could be fun, I think. And the other one we talked about is I think doing some sort of record or something of our parents, sort of their journey of immigrating from the countries that they came from to the United States, and how that kind of, I guess, weaves into, I mean, we're here now, so.
Because our childhood experiences are very, very similar, but our parents came to the United States at almost the exact same time, but their journeys there were very, very different, because my dad is extremely bad. He's he had some exciting childhood run-ins with the police and possibly also Yakuza. I'll leave it with at that.
Oh, that sounds like a great book.
Also, homemade explosions. He decided when he was in like middle school to figure out how to make nitroglycerin by himself. He was like, I think about 10 or 12. He was like precocious.
Don't get me wrong.
Do we have questions from the audience? Yes, front row.
I guess one thing I'm kind of curious about is how much of the process happens separately versus kind of like symbiotically or together. Especially in cases where it's like you have one person who comes from a more like writing focused background versus another people, or like two people with very different styles.
Yeah. So the question has to do with the process of collaborating and coming. How much they do on their own versus how much they do together, because they're coming from two different places.
Two different backgrounds as well as work styles.
Yeah, two different backgrounds. like as well as sort of pursuits as well?
The first time Eddie and I tried collaborating was for a story we did for The Guardian, and at the time he was living in Brisbane, Australia, and I was living in Chicago, and you cannot get farther apart than that. I mean, really on opposite sides of the globe. And so we did the collaboration by sending things back and forth by email and talking on the phone. And it's an interesting thing because, of course, now it's easy. We're always together. We walk into the next room. But at that point, it was entirely facilitated by technology. And so, weirdly, that one is the one where we were most enmeshed. And, you know, I did some of the drawing. We hashed out the last third of the storyline together. So, partially because that story hadn't been finished, we did a lot more. It was a lot mushier roles, and then when we kept on going, it kind of got more defined that I was the writer and he was the artist. But what that kind of taught me was that there's a lot of ways we could go about this. It's just that for this particular project, we ended up kind of handing it back and forth between words and images.
It's funny, that's the only story where Audrey actually did some of the drawing. It's the first story in the book, the one actual romance that's in the book. Audrey had written these two characters, these two pseudo-scientific characters in white suits. What were they? Spies? Or?
Yeah, they're spies.
And they were in England, we'd call them boffins. The guys in the white coats that invent the stuff that they use in the field. And I didn't have anybody in my repertory company of actors that would fit these two characters, because I don't usually think up characters on this. They were so daft that I said to Georgie, you're going to have to draw those two. And she said, well, how are we going to do that? I said, just draw them in a variety of poses and positions with their hands doing different stuff. Send it over and I'll work it out. I'll just work them into the position. I'll work them into the pictures. We'll change arms and legs and move things around. I'll make them work. Don't worry. Just send me a bunch of pictures of these two guys as you see them. And that's... So it was a real collaging things together. And I think it looks seamless. I challenge anybody to know that there's two different people drawing these characters. You know, I actually drew the female characters and she drew the male characters. It's kind of interesting. Because she drew the main guy in the story as well. Because I wasn't sure at this time just how Audrey was picturing them. I said, what do you think this guy looks like? And he looked so goofy and stupid, I thought, well, I can't draw him. You're going to have to draw all the pictures, all the figures. And just send me the figures and I'll work it out. I'll move them around in pieces, have them interacting with each other. It's like she'd send me her actors, and I put the actors through their paces on the page. Do you remember that?
Yeah, this is basically a big old ad for Photoshop. Anyway, we should see the bind to you guys.
Yeah, as far as process.
Yeah, I would say it's changed a lot over the years, but currently we'll sort of put our heads, when we're working on a new project or like a new chapter or a new, planning out a new book, put our heads together to get a sense of what we want out of the book together. I'll write an outline and I'll come back to Yuko, and Yuko will say, I hate this, this, and this, so I'll change that. And then that's basically every step of the way, like through the script to the thumbnails.
Wait, it's just
me saying, hey, check this out, and Yuko's like, I hate that and that and that. And then I'll change it. No, it goes back and forth also. Like when Yuko's the one who does the thumbnails, so she'll come back with the thumbnails, we'll put our heads together and we'll say, oh, this works, maybe you could try this here, you know. And that's actually part of the reason that I started thumbnailing, was sometimes I had an idea, but I didn't know how to express it verbally, and Yuko would say, just draw it, you know. So, yeah, it's a pretty collaborative every step of the way, I guess.
You used this word before, mushy, and I feel like that's a lot of how we work together, is it just kind of... It just kind of melts all into each other, where technically I'm the artist and he is technically the writer, but it's way blurrier than that, and the titles are they're really just formalities.
J'ai travaillé avec 60 ou 70 auteurs différents.
So he worked with around 60 to 70 different authors.
Et j'ai pas travaillé différemment avec Brigitte, c'était la même façon. En fait.
And he didn't work differently with Brigitte, it was the same way.
La seule différence, c'est peut-être le rapport de confiance qu'on avait l'un par rapport à l'autre.
So the only difference might be the trust that they have for each other.
Et à un moment, comme c'était son histoire, l'histoire de sa vie, elle voulait vraiment que les gens comprennent bien les choses. Et moi, j'ai fait quelque chose d'un petit peu elliptique.
As it was her life story, he really wanted people to understand what it was, so he constructed it with the
I'm sorry about him. But it's a good guy. Moi je faisais les choses de manière simple au niveau du scénario, et moi je voulais que ce soit clair, donc elle me disait il faut mettre les choses très précisément dans le scénario, et je disais non, fais confiance au lecteur, fais confiance à l'intelligence du lecteur.
So Lewis did for the writing, he wanted it to be really simple, and Brigitte wanted everything to be really, really clear, but Lewis told her to trust the reader in that. The intelligence of the reader.
Et j'ai dit ça à Brigitte parce qu'on est ensemble depuis longtemps. Je travaillais avec quelqu'un d'autre, je n'aurais pas eu la patience d'expliquer les choses. J'aurais dit on fait comme ça, c'est fini, et puis c'est tout.
So he explained it to Brigitte because he's been living with her for a long time, but he wouldn't have had the patience to explain all that to another author.
Awesome, thank you. We've reached, I think, the end of our time. I'm now sort of imagining tomorrow we'll have a second part to this panel called Procreative Couples, everything we didn't discover on the Saturday 4 p.m. panel. But please, a warm